We are really blessed to have Deborah with us. Because she's worked in Afghanistan and security issues are real, she's just going by her first name, and we'll keep it at that. We don't even know if that is her real first name. Sometimes these workers do strange things, but she is here in the flesh. She really has served in Afghanistan, and she's going to be teaching a workshop on telling the Bible story in a way that's really memorable and simple. So I'll pass out the worksheets, but let's welcome and thank Deborah for being with us.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much. I am very honored and excited to be with you all. I also apologize because I'm also very flustered. My computer crashed yesterday, and so the normal frustration I would already have at such a situation is mega compounded. But I would love to ask for God's help and then try to dive in. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for the story of the gospel, the truth that you put in our heads and hearts to give to a waiting world and the commission you gave us to give it. We ask that you would enable us now, that you would speak through me and guide us in how to become better tellers of your story. In Christ's name, amen. All right, you are getting two handouts. I am going to begin with the one, I need my own, going to begin, thank you. What you'll want to look at first is the one titled Bible Storytelling to Point to Christ. However, we are not really going to work through that entire worksheet, that entire note sheet today. We don't have time. I originally prepared that particular note sheet, thank you, for an hour and a half presentation. So I would simply recommend that you read through that at your convenience, especially if you work with Muslims, because it has some tips on there for Bible storytelling in general, and some of the ideas behind it, some of the rationale behind it. So I figure you don't really need convincing because you are here, but some in the Christian world do. Some need a lot of convincing about this approach, that it's actually as valid, as scholarly, and as biblical, which I find absolutely ironic because 75% of the Bible is story, and how did God give us the gospel as a story throughout the ages? So it's really crazy, but we've just come to such a place in our culture that many need convincing. So that might help you think through it a little bit more if you sometimes face a hard sell explaining to a pastor or seminarian that this is just as valid or, in fact, often a much better and biblical way of sharing the gospel. I will tell you that this particular presentation is developed entirely for Muslims because that's who I've spent the past 11 years of my life focused on reaching. And so if you work with Hindus or Buddhists, you can take a lot of ideas from here and you're going to want to springboard and change some of the details. So I'm going to show you a very low-tech presentation, very awkwardly, since I have a microphone and I'm going to have to set it up in a low place where you won't be able to see well. But the intention behind this is that you can share the gospel with your Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, etc. friends in about 20 minutes. It's basically a particular approach of what in missions world is called C2C, creation to Christ. So telling an overview of the Bible and showing how it all points to Christ in something around 20 minutes. The particular pictures I'm going to offer you a chance to get, but you might want to customize them if you work with another people group. Muslims have a prohibition, if they're strict, on picturing the prophets. And they actually consider a lot of the Bible characters that we don't typically call prophets. And I don't have a problem with that. If you look at Genesis 20, verse 7, I believe Abraham is explicitly called a prophet, but we wouldn't normally think of him as such. So I call them prophets when I present because that's extremely important in Muslim cultures to show that kind of respect. I have actually been rebuked by a Muslim early in my days of seeking to reach them for, quote, not respecting Jesus because I simply said the word Jesus rather than the prophet Jesus or the term I've come to appreciate the most, the honorable Jesus Messiah. And so I really advocate that, using prophet before most of them, or Father Adam is how I say that one, if you are working with Muslims. Some Muslims may not, and if you notice that they don't use the term, you may be able to drop it as well. But among most, you'll find that they'll want to use that. But my terminology and my pictures are intended for Muslims. And if you're working with Hindus, for example, who can show pictures, you might want to search the internet and use my same idea, but print your own pictures off the internet from some Sunday school website. They're freely available all over the place, and you can actually show a picture that has Adam. I can't, so I had to commission my nephew to draw little things that represent each Bible story without actually showing the characters. A couple other things that I want you to know about Muslims before we launch into a demo of the story. I advocate withholding certain details when you're sharing the stories of the Bible with Muslims. Now, is that deceit? Some say that, and some have accused me of that. I don't believe so. Because if I don't tell you, for example, which son of Abraham took with him up the mountain in Genesis 22 at God's command, I haven't lied to you. I've just not told you which son it was. I've just said Abraham and his son. Because Muslims also believe that story and have it in the Quran, but it's about Ishmael in their version. So what do I want to do? Argue about whether it was Isaac or Ishmael? No. Use the story about Abraham's son to point to God's son. And so there will come a time when you'll face those certain little challenges, misunderstandings, etc. But I advocate, for the sake of getting to Christ, just kind of glossing over those things, which means you have to be aware of them to know the right terminology to use. Don't not do it just because you're in the situation and don't know the terminology, but do pray and ask God to prepare you ahead of time as much as possible to know that. So, a couple things I want to ask you to note and actually jot down if you are able and if you work with Muslims are Muslims believe the Garden of Eden was in heaven, not on earth. Doesn't really matter, but I try to avoid saying precisely where it was when I tell the story so that we don't argue about that. Muslims frequently call sin mistakes. Do I care about semantics? No. Do I care about the fact that a sin or a mistake, whichever you want to call it, will keep you from God's presence? And the honorable Jesus Messiah can bring us into God's presence? Yes. So I sometimes call sins mistakes. Because, hey, if you want to call it a mistake, it's still enough to ban you. Thirdly, they believe it was Ishmael who was taken up the mountain. So you'll want to be aware of that. And the fourth thing was the prophets that I already mentioned. They don't believe it's okay to depict a prophet in many cases. Some will be okay with that. There's a very popular story of Joseph out there in movie format. So many will be okay with that, but not necessarily all. I think that's all I want to say. Well, it's not all I want to say, but it's all I can say before we dive into the story. In order not to run out of time. So what I'm going to do is show you, just as I would do it, I'm going to treat you as Muslims, and I'm going to use my Arabic. I don't speak Arabic. I work with Muslims who are part, I work with Afghans, who are part of the 80% of Muslims who don't speak Arabic. Again, only 20% of Muslims speak Arabic. But 100% of Muslims use Arabic religious terminology, just like all of us Christians say hallelujah, but we don't speak Hebrew, right? So I'm going to say things such as Nabi Musa instead of Moses. You can follow along on this if you would like. The only change that I've had because of my computer crash is I was not able to get this particular one printed. So when I show you on paper, it's going to be missing number one off your handout, and instead I'm going to combine number one and two. But other than that, you know, you'll be able to follow along despite my usage of strange terms, and hopefully learn some of the Arabic words. Because if you say Noah, they're likely not going to know what you're talking about. But if you just tweak it to Nabi Noah, you're good to go. So let us go ahead and begin, and it is going to be so awkward. Would you hold the paper? Because I don't know that I'm going to be able to follow you holding the microphone. Okay, so what you'll want to do is unfold them as I go. Okay. Yeah, this will work better with a person because I was going to have to prop it. In person, in a living room or over a dining room table, I do hold it. Yeah, so it goes crooked like that, exactly. Absolutely. I do, please. So there you go, the tree. We're good. Okay. In the beginning, God created the world with his word. He simply spoke, and that was enough. Everything came to exist at God's word. And in the beginning, there was no death, suffering, sin, mistakes, or shame. Everything in the world was perfect and good. I'll move over because I'm in the way. And then God created Father Adam and his wife Hawa. And he gave them a beautiful, beautiful garden to live in. And he gave them just one command. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Father Adam and Hawa listened to their own ways and to the ways of Shaitan instead of God. And they went astray and they sinned by eating from that fruit. And this sin brought shame all over them. And when God came to talk with them, to walk with them, and to be with them, as he did every day, they ran away and hid because they were ashamed and scared. They also took leaves from a tree and tried to make their own clothes to cover their shame. But it wasn't enough. Their way of covering their shame was not enough. So, in order to cover their shame, God brought about the first death by killing an animal. Father Adam and Hawa sinned, but an animal died in their place instead of them in order to cover their shame. And when God came to them, after giving them clothes of skins from this animal to cover their shame, he gave them a very strange, mysterious promise told like a poem, saying that one day there would be a man who would come from Hawa who would be hurt by Shaitan. Shaitan would crush his foot, part of his foot. But this man was powerful enough that he would crush the head of Shaitan, killing him forever. And then came the horrible, horrible judgment for their one sin, which was enough for God to send them out of his garden, out of his presence, and away from his presence. But the story didn't end there. After Father Adam came Prophet Nu. And in the days of Prophet Nu, sorry, you're going to have to, yeah, it takes a little learning how to use. Yeah. I'm still working on how to present this better. This is a new format. It's not working either, like the first one. But anyway, we'll get there. Prophet Nu. And Prophet Nu was a righteous man. God called to him and told him that he was going to send judgment on all the earth for all of people's sins and mistakes, but that God would deliver Prophet Nu and his family if they would build a boat and get inside the boat. And they obeyed. And if they had tried to be saved in a different way by being good enough to swim, they wouldn't have lived. But they obeyed God's instructions and got inside the boat. But when the flood was over and they got off of the boat, they did something surprising. They offered animals as a sacrifice to God, killing them, shedding blood, just like God had done back in the garden for Father Adam and Hawa. So this shows us that even though Prophet Nu was righteous, maybe he was not perfect because he still needed a sacrifice to cover for his mistakes. And then there was my favorite, Prophet Ibrahim. In the days of Prophet Ibrahim, God gave him, yeah, it, exactly. Yep. We're good. So if you kind of unroll this each time 180 degrees, okay. That's kind of what I'm thinking okay. Might work. In the days of Prophet Ibrahim, who was a righteous man, God called Prophet Ibrahim to go up to the top of a mountain and to sacrifice his son there. Prophet Ibrahim got up early, took his son, went up the mountain, and put him on the altar and was about to plunge the knife into the heart of his son when God called out, "Ibrahim, Ibrahim, you don't have to kill your son." Ibrahim looked up, and across the way, he saw a lamb, a sheep, caught in the thicket. God had provided a sacrifice in substitute of Ibrahim's son so that he didn't have to kill his own son. But he obeyed God. Next was Prophet Yusuf. In Prophet Yusuf's day, Prophet Yusuf suffered greatly. Even though he was following God and he had done nothing to deserve it, he was hated by his brothers. He was sent away to Egypt. And in Egypt, he ended up in prison for something wrong that he had not done. A mistake that they said he did, that he didn't really do. But Prophet Yusuf submitted to God and suffered willingly. And after suffering, God gave him a position of rulership in the land, a position of great power, almost like the king. After Prophet Yusuf, several years later, came Prophet Musa. Prophet Musa was almost killed when he was a baby. You can prop it here if it's getting unwieldy. Okay. When Prophet Musa was a baby, the king of Egypt tried to kill him. But Prophet Musa's mom and dad listened to God, and instead God directed them to a way to save their baby. When Prophet Musa was 80 years old, after he had spent 40 years in the wilderness being prepared by God, he was sent by God to Egypt to free his people from slavery. And before Prophet Musa died, God gave him a strange and mysterious prophecy that one day he would send another prophet like Prophet Musa. Another prophecy that reminds me of the prophecy God gave to Father Adam back in the beginning of our story in the garden. Prophet Musa's brother was Prophet Harun. And as you all know, Prophet Musa asked God for some help because his task was way too big for him. And God sent Prophet Harun. In their day, thank you, God told Prophets Musa and Harun to have each family sacrifice a lamb. And they obeyed. And because they obeyed, their oldest sons in each family didn't have to die. And they took the blood of this lamb and painted it across the top and going down on each door. And if they hadn't done this, Prophet Harun would have died because he was the oldest son in his family. And many oldest sons throughout the land of the Egyptians, the people who did not listen to God, did die because they didn't obey by making a sacrifice. And after the people became free from slavery through this amazing miracle, God appointed Prophet Harun as a priest in addition to a prophet. And a priest means that he would offer sacrifices every day, killing animals every day in the place of people so that the people didn't have to die for their own mistakes. Many, many years later was Prophet and King Daoud. And Prophet and King Daoud was given a promise by God that somebody from his own family would rule the world forever and ever and ever. And our last of this series of prophets is Prophet Yunus. You know the story of Prophet Yunus. God called him to go preach about there being only one God instead of the many idols that people worshipped in that day. And instead, Prophet Yunus ran away, and in judgment, God had a fish swallow him, and he lived in the stomach for 3 days before God had the fish spit him out. And then Prophet Yunus had learned to obey God. And then next comes Prophet Isa al-Masih, or the Honorable Jesus Messiah. And this I should have explained at the beginning. So what you want to do is fold back the green so it's behind the fish and then show the lamb. The green is simply there to keep the lamb from showing the whole time. The green is a cover for the lamb. There you go. Yep. And keep that one behind still. Yeah. So obviously this takes some learning to use, or maybe some of you can come up with a better idea. I did have a great idea suggested to me of just Office Max or Staples little books, but I want people to be able to see everything at the same time. So I don't know how to string them all together. My last attempt was tape, and that was even worse, believe it or not. And then came the Honorable Jesus Messiah. The Honorable Jesus Messiah was miraculous in every way. First of all, his birth was miraculous because he was the only person ever born from a virgin. And then his life was miraculous because he did many, many miracles, healing many, many people. And the Injil and the Quran both agree that the Honorable Jesus Messiah was the only person who never committed any sins or any mistakes. And that is an amazing miracle. His teachings were also miraculous. He taught people many things that sounded very strange and very crazy, like that they should love their enemies instead of killing their enemies. But when people obey these teachings, they find miraculous power working through them. And many throughout the ages have called themselves Christians and have not obeyed these teachings. But those of us who obey these teachings find them to be a better way to live. Jesus the Messiah's death was also miraculous. How could God's chosen Messiah, special one, die? I guess God can do anything he wants, even make his Messiah die. But that is a miracle, especially that he could die in such a shameful way on the cross. And even though Jesus had the power to escape, he chose to submit to God's plan of dying. But 3 days later, Jesus the Messiah's resurrection was also miraculous. And now he has gone to heaven where he sits at the right hand of God, waiting God's call to return and to judge all the people of the world. Why does the honorable Jesus Messiah get all these privileges? Well, because he is, and you'll just hold it there, you won't move. You'll advance the slide, please. Because he is, in addition to being the Lamb of God. And when Prophet Yahya first saw Prophet Jesus the Messiah outside, he called to all the people around him, "Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Yahya is John the Baptist. He is also the Word, the Kalimat Ullah, as you see there in the head and the shoulders of the Lamb, the Word of God, the one who spoke in the beginning of time when God created the tree and the garden. That was Prophet Jesus the Messiah. He's also the Savior, just like the boat in Prophet Noah's day that they had to get inside to be saved. Any other way will not save us. Jesus said, "I am the only way, the truth, and the life." He is also the Son of God, but not in a physical way, in a very special, intimate way. Just like we can say that you are a son of Egypt if you are from Egypt, because you have a very close, special relationship to Egypt. Prophet Jesus the Messiah is the Son of God in a special, different way than anyone else ever. He's also the substitute sacrifice. Just like Prophet Ibrahim almost offered his own son as a sacrifice, but God provided a substitute, Hazrat Isa al-Masih is that substitute for me, and he can be for anyone who will submit to him. He is also a sufferer, just like Joseph in Egypt, who suffered for things he did not do. Prophet Jesus the Messiah suffered on the cross for sins and mistakes and for shame that he had not done and did not deserve, but he submitted to God. He is also the prophet, like Prophet Musa, who was almost killed when he was a baby. The king almost killed the honorable Jesus Messiah when he was a baby. But by God's plan, the honorable Jesus Messiah escaped just as Prophet Musa. And then as Prophet Musa went through 40 years in the wilderness preparing for his mission, the honorable Jesus Messiah went through 40 days in the wilderness fasting and praying and preparing for his mission. He also is the deliverer from slavery, like Prophet Musa. He delivered me from the slavery of having to sin and make mistakes every day. He is also the priest, like Prophet Harun, who offered the sacrifices to bring the people acceptable to God. Prophet Jesus the Messiah offered himself on the cross and continues to offer himself as a sacrifice for all who will submit to that sacrifice. And a king, like Prophet Daoud. Jesus the Messiah is the king from Prophet Daoud's family who will reign forever and ever, according to the command of God. He is the fulfillment of all the signs and all the characters and all the prophecies of the Old Testament. Just like Prophet Yunus, who spent 3 days inside a whale, Prophet Jesus the Messiah spent 3 days inside the earth, dead, before God raised him back to life again. And so the story doesn't quite end there. After the honorable Jesus Messiah went back to heaven to be with God, there was a special one of his followers called Boutrous, or Peter. And according to Prophet Jesus the Messiah's instructions, Boutrous and 120 other followers of Prophet Jesus the Messiah were gathered together to pray, obeying his instructions, when the Holy Spirit, the Ruhullah, or breath of God, came upon them looking like a fire, And he enabled them to preach to a crowd of thousands of people in all the people's different languages, including Arabic and including some of the languages of what is today Iran. So many from that part of the world were among Prophet Jesus the Messiah's earliest followers. And Boutros' message was that anyone who will submit to Prophet Jesus the Messiah and request him to take away their sins and their shame will receive this Holy Spirit, who will give them power by living inside them to enable them not to sin. Because by their own strength, people can't. As we saw with... Sorry, forget that sentence. I don't know where I'm going. Because every single person needs this salvation, because we saw in the beginning that only one mistake was enough to make Father Adam and Hawa have to go from God's presence. And so I have committed more than one mistake. And so I have submitted my life to following the teachings of Hazrat Isa al-Masih in submission to him, because he has taken away my sin and given me the Holy Spirit to live inside of me. And it is very important for each of us to pray and ask God to show us his straight path, that we might follow him and be restored back to relationship with him. Thank you.